Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience, with Janine and Ingram.
I know you know the story when the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sound something like this. How should we pray? Here's what the Lord told them. higher pay, the higher Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, The Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And that was Angie Wynette's prayer, the Lord's prayer, right here in The Love Journey family. We're going to get ready and turn with this, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, many, many names. But we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So I just want you to become very intentional about the breath, because there is power in the breath, family, in the breath. There is power. And so right now, I just want you to take in that deep breath, breathe in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath. And I want you to remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. So I just want you to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And as we enter into the presence, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so, that you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be, and it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive, I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Wow, just the energy of forgiveness. Doesn't it feel good just to forgive, release, and to let go? Just breathe. Wow. Just breathe. Wow. Good morning, family. You tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. All right, family, we're going to play a little music, then we're going to go right into our wonderful, wonderful science of the mind. And the science of mind today, let me see, it's going to tell us all about And I love the science of the mind. Make it a bigger mode. That's what the science of the mind today is about. Maybe I'll just go ahead and read it and then play a song. It said, Joel Goldsmith said, God's work is done, finished, and complete, but it is unfolding to our conscious awareness in proportion as we learn the truth and how to bring ourselves into harmony with that truth. The mode of acceptance is the measure of our experience. Ernest Holmes wrote that in a book called Spiritual Awareness. The mode of acceptance is the measure of our experience. Wow. As the only girl, what is this computer doing? Come on. As the only, it's doing what it wanted to do. Let's go back. Oh, wow, I need to move to another page. Maybe we'll need to read this one then. Had enough. In actuality, misery is a moment of suffering allowed to become everything. Misery is a moment of suffering allowed to become everything. The universe does not demand suffering. Suffering is man-made through ignorance. It will continue until man learns how to make it negative in his experience. Someday we shall decide that we had enough suffering. Well, I had enough. I don't want no more. When I was a young mother, my mother had a way of dealing with my tantrums. She would simply ignore my dramatic outpouring of outrage and whining by stashing me in a corner with calm, firm indifference. And when my howls subsided to sniffles, my mother would come back to me, pick me up, and say, you had enough now? She then would talk to me and love me back to some semblance of reasonable behavior. And if I clung to my anger back to the corner, I would go to suffer some more. As adults, I think we sometimes cling to our suffering in much the way we may have done as children, choosing to stay angry and resentful. And when we've been hurt, we may be tempted to stay on the cross of our pain for all to see and sympathize with. It's tempting to have people comfort us. But what could have been a life lesson becomes instead of a story that defines us. We become, oh, poor me. You see, I wrote about that yesterday. Poor me is not God's will for us. But also, like children, we have the ability to rebound and move on. As always, we have a choice. We are at choice. We can remain in our humanly created dead-end corner of anger, howling about how poorly we've been treated, or we can choose to look at our behavior and examine how we can react differently. Then we can choose to say we've had enough of the hurt, the pain, and the destructive anger, and instead choose love. I choose love. I release pain. Suffering is always optional because God's will for our life is joy. God's will for our life is absolute joy. As the only girl in a family with three brothers and two adopted brothers, that's another story. I often had to fight for my share of dessert. I always wanted a bigger piece of the pie or cake when I ended up with it. And when I found religious science and was told that my life can be more if I could just accept more, it was almost too good to be true. What was the catch? There had to be one. It wasn't easy to trust that. As Mr. Eckhart claimed, God was 1,000 times more willing to give than I was willing to receive. One could say the past 24 years of spiritual learning and practice have been about building a bigger mold in my soul, or maybe a bigger mold of my soul. If God is pure givingness,
then let me do the best job possible of opening it up to that flow, not just in the supply and abundance of this world, but in my sense of intimacy with my beloved itself. You see, one of my favorite ministers used to ask, how big is your God? How big is your God? You see, it was a good way of checking one's thinking. If life wasn't feeling quite as good as it should, what and how much was I expecting? Was I holding a thimble or a bucket under the waterfall of good? Come on, y'all. What are we doing here? When I remember to think about the size of my mental mold, it was amazing how quickly the inflow of good things increased from a trickle to a torrent. Today's affirmation, today I open wide to receive God's gift in my life. As my life, my God is a mighty God. Come on, family. Today I open wide to receive God's gift in my life. As my life, my God is a mighty God. Woo! I just want y'all to marinate on that. Maybe I just need to marinate on that, huh? How big is your God this morning? I bet you some, my Reverend. What y'all bet? How big is your God? How big is your mold to receive? Are you at it? Do you have a thimble or a torrent? Wow. I want you to really get out of the idea that you're asking for too much or any of that kind of stuff, because abundance is your birthright, right? If abundance is your birthright, then why are you living this scantily life, right? From paycheck to paycheck, because sometimes we forget. But I think it's really about being intentional. You know, I don't think we've come to a point in our life when we've had enough and become intentional about how we move and have our being with our relationship with our money. Well, you know, we can't what we don't have and then think we're supposed to have everything we want. Those conversations mix up what we actually going to actually manifest. So I want you to think about that today. How big is your mold? How big is your God? What is the size of your God? When they say that, what does that really mean to you when you hear that? How big is your God? I want you to think about that. How big is your God? All right, we're going to play this song, Money Is Coming to Me. And then we're going to listen. You can't talk about money without Reverend Ike, not in my book. We're going to talk about how to get rich today.
Money is coming to me. to me easily and effortlessly. Money is coming to me.
Wow, I love that song. It's been a minute since we played that one, huh? Money is coming to me easily and effortlessly. So much money. La-da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, here's Reverend Ike on how to be rich. We're going to talk about that today, how to be rich.
I would like to talk with you today from the subject, how to be rich in every way. How to be rich in every way. And I would like to have you repeat the subject with me. Come on together, everybody. How to be rich in every way. Now, that's what we're talking about. And since I'm in the Bible Belt today, here in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm going to read out of this good old book, the Bible. The book that I'm in love with. Because many of you here, and perhaps some of you who watch by television, are wondering, Reverend Ike, what does the Bible have to do with making people rich? Well, let's find out if I'm still in the book. I'm going to read a text from the 92nd Psalm, beginning at the 12th verse, and as I pause, I want you to repeat it after me for emphasis. The righteous shall flourish. Like the palm tree. He shall grow. Like a cedar in Lebanon. You may be seated. In life, if you want to be successful and prosperous, you have to reject the poverty idea. Because you never get any further in life than the ideas in your mind. You never get any further in life than your ideas about yourself. And so if you want to prosper and be successful in life, first of all, reject the idea of poverty. There are too many people who believe that poverty is necessary. There are people who believe that in order to serve God and to please God, that they need to be poor. And of course, I never could understand that, because I can always love God a lot better when I have money to pay my bills and meet my needs. So you must reject the idea of poverty. Reject the idea that it is necessary to be poor in order to love God and to serve God. Another thing that people must do is this. Reject all negative self-definitions. Peel off the negative labels. There are too many negative labels today being passed around, particularly to minorities. This business of calling yourselves poor people has played out and has been overdone. As long as you go around calling yourself poor people, poor people, poor people, you will remain poor people. Why? The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the experts, quote unquote, need to stop teaching people a poor people's psychology. Learn to reject all negative self-definitions. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. This is why I say the Bible is a book of psychology rather than a book of theology. Listen, let the weak say what? I am strong. Why? Because whatever you say you are, you will become that. Whatever you say you are, you will remain that. It follows that if you want to be successful and prosperous, let the poor say what? I am prosperous. I am successful. Will all of you say that with me? I am prosperous. I am successful. Since we're talking about how to be rich in every way, what does it mean to be rich? What are the riches of life? I call the riches of life together health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, money. Ho, ho, ho. When you have health, which means wholeness, wholeness of spirit, mind, and body, oh, you're rich. And the Bible says that God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, and certainly health in soul, mind, and body is among the riches of life. Happiness is among the riches of life. Say happiness with me.
Happiness.
God has given us the power of happiness, and I would like to make a personal affirmation out of this and have all of you say, God has given me the power of happiness. Together? God has given me the power of happiness. Health and happiness are among the things which make us rich. And also, success and prosperity are among the riches of life. Say with me, success and prosperity. Now, what is a successful person? A successful person is a person who opens his mind to right ideas, to prosperous ideas. A person who is successful in his relationships with other people, his family, his neighbors, and society in general. So success covers a wide spectrum when we speak of success. Now, let's deal a little bit with money for just a moment. I want to give you my rather unique definition of money. Because when I say money, I'm talking about more than just facts and figures, dollars and cents. To me, money is the getting power of self-awareness. Money is the getting power of self-awareness. Say that with me. Money is the getting power of self-awareness. Now remember that. And please hear this. Whatever your image of yourself is, it always draws unto itself everything that belongs to it. For example, if you have an image of yourself in your mind that you are a poor person, then more poverty will be drawn into your life, and that's all that you can draw. More poverty. If you change your image of yourself right now, as I have come to help you do, and you begin to see and to say of yourself, I am prosperous and successful, that successful, prosperous image of yourself will begin to lead you and guide you into ways and means of success and prosperity. Now, I'm going to have prayer with you. It's going to be a different technique of prayer, perhaps for some of you, because I pray in a different way. Lean back. Stretch out your legs if you can. Now, this is the way I pray. This is the stuff I use, and it works. Tilt your chin slightly up. Close your two outer eyes. Open the one eye of faith, of in God, which is within you. Place your hands in your lap in a receptive position. Place them upward, the palms turned up. This is the way you receive. And repeat this with me. Right here and right now, I enter my secret closet. I go into the theater of my mind. And I look upon the stage of my imagination. Look. I see myself. Look how beautiful I am. Look how beautiful I am in God. I see a glow on my face. Smile on my lips. Look how beautiful I am in God. I have all the money that I need to do all of the good that I want to do. I see myself enjoying money. I do not serve money. Money serves me. Money, you are wonderful stuff. Money, I love you in your place. I feel the joy of money. Thank you, God, in me for money. Now open your eyes slowly. Very slowly. We were in what I call the transliminal area of the mind doing visualization. Before you go to sleep every night, visualize what you want. See yourself being, doing, and having the good which you desire. And fall asleep in that vision, in that mood, in that attitude. When you wake up in the morning, wake up and bless the day ahead of you by saying, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Speak your good word ahead of you. And now the peace and the love, the joy and the success, the prosperity, all of the good that God is, go with you, above you and beneath you, beside you, around you, behind you, within you and before you, and make smooth, beautiful, and perfect your way.
Wow, I just want you to really take some things that he said from there. How we see ourselves. How are we seeing ourselves? When we look at a relationship to money, how do we even see ourselves in relationship to money? But most importantly, just how do you simply see yourself? Here he's talking about how your positive self-belief becomes God in action. And I want you to hear this, and then we're going to talk about that.
I want to speak to you for a few moments from the subject, you can have it. And you're going to find out that my sermons are not like the usual sermons. I don't just stand up here and preach nice little sermons. I'm going to involve you in this sermon. I'm going to have you help me preach this sermon. So the first thing that I'm going to do to involve you in this sermon is to have you convert my subject to the first person and have you say with me, I can have it. And I want you to point to yourself as you say this. Together, everybody. I can have it. Now, I want all of you to stand. And I'm going to have you say that in a very sassy way. I told you this is a working sermon. This is a sermon which involves you. It's not just nice platitudes that I give you. You know, that good book, the Bible, declares that by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. What does that mean? By your words you shall be rewarded, and by your words you shall be punished. It's important what you say in your heart. So I want you to speak some very strong words at this moment. Put your hand on your hip, if you will, and begin, as we say this, let your backbone slip. And these are the words that I want you to say with me in a moment. No one can tell me what I can't have. Come on. No one can tell me what I can't have. Did you put your hand on your hip and let your backbone slip? Now we're going to say it again, and we're going to shake it to the east and shake it to the west. Now, this may seem like nonsense to some people, but let me explain what I'm doing. I'm helping you to deposit this positive idea in your subconscious mind. And you see, when you stand like this and put your hand on your hip and let your backbone slip, this helps to embed this positive idea in your subconscious mind more firmly. Because here again the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks of himself, so is he. You see, this is another secret. It does not matter what other people think about you. It only matters what you think about yourself. There are two wonderful texts that I want to mention very briefly from this good old book called the Bible. I'm in the Bible Belt today, down here in Macon, Georgia, and the folks down here really believe in this old book, and I love it. The first text is from Mark, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse, and I want you to shout it back at me as I read it. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, things are possible to him who believes. The next text is from St. Mark, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse, and I want you to shout that back at me as I shall read it to you. With God, all things are possible. And I want you to notice for a moment these two texts. One text states that with God all things are possible. The next text states, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now notice for a moment, with God all things are possible, and all things are possible to him who believes. Therefore, the person who believes is God in action. You see, some of you thought that God was in the sky. Oh, no. The person who believes in himself is God in action. And I want to give you a personal affirmation concerning this. Will you point to yourself and say with me, when I believe, I am God in action. Together, when I believe, I am God in action. I'm going to add something to it. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. Point to yourself and say this. Come on. When I believe, I am God in action. Let's do another take and take it through. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. Come on, together. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. Now, aren't you glad you know who God is? Some of you never knew that. Isn't it wonderful to know that? Here again, this is what the mastermind Jesus meant when he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know that God is no longer in the sky, but that God is the mind, the power that is within you, it sets you free from trying to get a God in the sky to do something for you. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. Shout that again with me once more. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. You see, here in this philosophy, which we call the science of living, we have no outer gods, but rather the inner God, which is in every man. And we devote ourselves to the ministry of pointing out to every man the presence of God within himself. Now, the person who believes in himself is God in action, and all things are possible to him. You can have the good you desire if you believe in yourself. And so I want you to shout with me again affirmatively, I can have the good that I desire. I can have the good that I desire. So many times religion has taught man that he's nothing. Some religion teaches that all mankind is nothing. Sometimes in church they would teach us to sing that song to refer to ourselves as such a worm as I. Stop singing and talking and thinking of yourself as a worm. If you think of yourself as a worm, you're going to get the same treatment that a worm gets. What happens to a worm? A worm gets stepped on. Now you know why you've been getting stepped on. Stop believing in yourself as a son of a gun and believe in yourself as a son of God. When the Apostle Peter confessed to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he was speaking the truth of every man. The truth of every man, the truth of me is, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Point to yourselves and shout that with me. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ is the presence of God in man. And when you believe in yourself, your divine self, your God self, your spiritual self, then you're believing in Christ. Some people say, have you come to Christ? But listen, you don't come to Christ until you come to Christ in you. You don't know God until you know God in you. You Christians, you don't know Jesus until you know Jesus in you. You can't know God in the sky until you first know God in you. You will not find God until first of all you find God in you. When you find God in you, then you will find God in other people. You will find God everywhere. Now you can have the good that you desire if you believe in yourself. I want to get down to some specific good desires which you may have. And I want to ask you a few questions as I begin to close this message. How many of you desire to have health continually? To be healthy and whole in your soul, mind, and body. All right. Here is how it's done. If you want to be healthy, have a healthy belief about yourself. And a healthy belief about yourself will heal you and keep you healthy. For example, this is why I told the lady this afternoon who said to me, Reverend Ike, I have this bad leg. I said to her, stop saying that. If you're having a problem with some organ or some part of your body, don't keep cursing that part of your body by saying, oh, this sick leg. The Bible says again, you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. By your words, you are justified. By your words, you are condemned. If there is some organ or some limb or some part of your body which you're having problems with, stop feeding that part of your body sick thoughts. The more you say, oh, this sick leg, the sicker it'll get. And here again, I've seen some wonderful healings when I've told invalids, God walks in you. What does that do? That gives the person who has been suffering an image of himself as being healthy. That person begins to visualize God walking in him. And he makes contact with the power, the presence of God within him, and begins to walk. I challenge you who look in on television. I challenge those of you who are here, who are having physical problems with your physical body. Start thinking this thought. God in me is my help. That thought will bring about your healing. Not only will it bring about your healing, you do not have to be sick to pray this prayer. This will keep you well. God in me is my help. It will keep you strong. It will keep you young. So once again, let all of us point to ourselves and give ourselves this healing treatment. And while we're getting ready to do this, I want to point out also one of the differences in this philosophy is that we teach each person to heal himself, to bless himself, and even to save himself. I did not come here to heal you. I've come here to teach you how to heal yourself. And one moment again, you know, the first sermon that was ever preached in the Christian church on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said to the people, save yourselves. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. So now, let's give ourselves this healing treatment. This is how you heal yourself. This is how you keep yourself healthy, by realizing God in me is my help right now. Together, God in me is my help right now. Take that realization with you. Eat it and drink it as you go. Eat it and drink it in your mind. Nourish your mind with the thought, God in me is my help. Drink the wine of the sensation of this realization. Get drunk on the idea, if you please. Be intoxicated on the idea, if you please, that God in me is my help. And here again, this is the meaning of the bread and the wine. The bread represents the inner nourishment of your mind. Nourish your mind with the thought, God in me is my help. The wine represents the sensation, the feeling of the fulfilled desire. Drink the feeling. Become intoxicated with the feeling, with the conviction, God in me is my help right now. This realization will heal you. It will keep you well, and it will keep you young. By the way, this is the only way that I serve the Christian sacrament of communion now. I'm saying this because I have some members of my church from South Carolina who are here today, and they are probably wondering, what is Reverend Ike doing now? Well, children, I'm growing. I'm speaking in other tongues. If you hear me again a year from now, I hope that I will evolve into something new and more glorious in my thinking. Because one of the disservices of organized religion is the fact that organized religion tells people, you believe this and don't you ever believe anything else. And some people, when they do testify, all they have to testify about is something that happened to them 40 years ago. Now, how did I get on that? How many of you are interested in happiness? Oh, if you want to be happy, accept a happy belief, a happy feeling about yourself. So let's give ourselves a treatment for happiness, a prayer treatment for happiness right now, if you please. Use your hand now to touch yourself. I'm having you touch yourself and go through these motions for very good mental mechanical reasons. Repeat this with me. I accept a happy belief, a happy feeling about myself right now. So this is the way you find happiness, and as you go out today from this service and as you go through life, keep a happy thought, a happy idea, a happy feeling about yourself, and you will meet other happy people, and you will have many more happy experiences.
All right. Any thoughts? I tell you, Reverend Ike really hits it on the head. I really wanted to really talk to you today about how you feel about yourself. And I know that was a lot to think about. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. When I believe in myself, I am God in action. And so today, when you think about what you're thinking about, the words that you speak, not just the words that come out your mouth, but the words that are in your heart about yourself, it's in the silence of your mind. It's in the belief system that you created. What are you believing about yourself? And that's all I want you to focus in on today. What really explore, what is your thoughts about you? What are you saying to yourself? If you catch yourself having a thought that is not a God in action type thought, then release that thought. Somebody sent a text, how can you reject poverty? I thought that was a really good question. When you don't have enough, how do you reject it? By simply. And I know that word sounds simply, and I'm going to take that word out, but I say simply because it's just simply getting still with yourself. When you find yourself in a feeling of emptiness because you can't see where the money's going to come from to pay a certain bill, and your bill collector's calling or something is due, or your bank account is in the minus, it's getting still and going to the well of abundance, to the place of unlimited resources, and say, of my physical eyes, I cannot see. But through the presence of my abundant creator that lives in me as me, I can see all things. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless my finances in the visible world right now, Holy Spirit. And begin to just meditate, asking the Holy Spirit, the Most High God, to remove yourself from that lower energetic expression to the highest expression of love. And just go into that loving energy, thanking God for more than enough. Thanking God for more than enough. And just remind yourself of God's abundance. Put on your music. Money is coming to me easily and effortlessly. Change the vibration of your energy. Whenever you used to feel anything other than abundance. And we'll talk more about that. We have a lot to chew on, but today, I really want you to really monitor your energy. Monitor how you feel about yourself. Monitor what are you saying to yourself. All right, family, I'm not going to go too deep into something else.
But I thought those were two good things for us to think about today. Our belief in ourselves and our relationship to how we believe, our relationship to money. And I just want you to take time to really focus in on that. Speaking of, today is our sister's birthday. I want to just take a few minutes and send a lot of love to Hasina. Good morning and love you, and may today be filled with lots of love, joy, happiness. May you receive so much to remind you of how important you are to everyone in your life. Happy Earth Day. Happy solo return. Happy birthday to our sister, Miss Hasina. All right, family. Any questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, *61, the teleconference line. And I want you to believe today that when you believe in yourself, you are God in action. And when you have to reject the idea of not enough or poverty, just get still until your default language becomes, I know God got me. All right, no questions, no comments, no concerns.
Yes, good morning, Janine. Good morning.
Good morning, birthday girl. Good morning, birthday girl.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Janine, for that. But, Janine, I need to ask you if I can call you. I need to talk to you.
Sure, you can always call me. Hasina.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, lady. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Janine. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any more comments? I know that Reverend Ike had us thinking about a lot, but I really want you to really focus in today on how you see yourself. God is my health. God is my wealth. God is. So when we think about that, maybe we should even think about how do we even see God. So I want you to write all this in your journal tonight. Just explore on your way to sleep or on your whenever you get a chance to write in your journal. I hope you're still keeping your journals. When you get ready to do your journal today, how big is your God? How do you even see God? What is God? Who is God? Can you really believe that you are God? And can you see yourself as God? Can you really see yourself as God? Now, that's a big one. Especially coming from a traditional background. It took a long time for me, even though I was even saying it on the line, it took a long time for me to own it. Because I really couldn't see myself in that space of God, because in my mind, God was something more than I could ever think, ask, or imagine. I couldn't see myself more than I could ever think, ask, and imagine. But the more I explore myself, the more I begin to understand myself, the more I can see that I am God. The more I can see that I am God in action, I am the manifestation of the walking embodiment of all that God is. And when things show up in my space, so the other day poverty tried to show its head. That's why I know that this stuff works. You see, I'm like Reverend Ike. I know it works because I tried it on myself first. I couldn't believe it. I said, now what in the world? What is you doing here, money? I had to just tell myself, what is you doing? And I had to look money straight in his eye. And you know this certain thing is time to be paid. Where are you? Instead of getting in fear, I just sat in the middle of the bed and I meditated and knew that the source of my supply, I am all that God is. So if I'm all that God is, then I can bring the invisible into the visible world. No matter how it shows up, doesn't matter to me. But you know you do. And I
I desire you to come on so we can do what we got to do. So it's very important to understand that until you get into the space of really, and everything is really like how when a newborn baby, you know, a newborn baby is born, and as it grows, it begins to learn and become aware of itself and talk and walk and all that stuff. Well, that's what happened in our spiritual tools. In the beginning, our spiritual tools, it's like a newborn baby. We begin, and as we get into a space in different stages of it, it gets easier and better and faster. But you got to begin somewhere, and you got to believe. I'm going to tell you right now, we serve a mighty, mighty, powerful presence. And in that powerful presence is the power to create the life you want, but you got to be intentional about it. You've got to be intentional about how you see yourself within the boundaries of this earth. How do you see yourself? We got to stop managing this physical presence and manage our spiritual presence. See, we've been taught to be in this physical. But everything begins in the spiritual world, and we got to learn how to manage it, how to harness it, how to bring forth that invisible, and not just by chance. Oh, I did a good thing. No. You're an alchemist. You're magical by nature. Your DNA says that you are all that God is. When you add up DNA, it becomes the number 19, which in the Quran, it is the number of God. So if your DNA is the number of God, you are all that God is. Your DNA is God. I want you to know right now, you have the power to shift your health. You have the power to shift your finances. And yes, it's a step by step. But you can keep doing it, you keep doing it. And one day you're going to realize, wow, I am the wizard of my life. I am the magic. I am all, truly all that God is. And that's my message from today. I don't want to get too much on you today. I really want you to think about it and explore. I don't want you to take what I say. I don't even want you to take what Reverend I say. I want you to get still with yourself and ask yourself, who and what is God to you? How big is your God? And see, we only operate in the magic of our belief system. The small beliefs get small dreams, get small. When we get our mind to believe in the big things and things bigger than beyond our belief, we can receive all of that. So you have to think about, how big is your God today? How big is the God presence of you today? And how little or big do you think of even yourself? Maybe this is the time to really understand who you are. See, we've been taught to play small, be humble, all those things keep us out of having a voice, reminding ourselves that we matter, that we are important, and that in the scheme of things, what we say makes a difference. So I want to let you know today, your presence makes a difference. Who you are makes a difference. So today, I want you to explore these questions. If you did not get I emailed them as soon as I got off the line yesterday. If you did not get your worksheets, please re-email me so I can send you your money conscious. If you didn't get your worksheets and you still desire to do the worksheets, your money consciousness worksheet and your radical forgiveness worksheets, please text me and let me know you didn't get it, and I'll resend them to you. Or if you didn't send it yesterday because you wasn't on the line and you don't know you want to get it, just text me, let me know. I want you to work on your worksheets. All right, family, that's it. That's all. I just want to remind you again that the Remarkable Woman Conference is coming up September 15th. This weekend, September 8th and 9th, is the 79th Street Renaissance Festival. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss one of the best festivals in Chicago, right here in our own hood, right here in our own neighborhood. When you think about what's good in the hood, it's the 79th Street Festival, the food, the friends, the people you haven't seen. And let me tell you, every time you go, you always end up seeing somebody you haven't seen in a long time. And let me tell you, the music, the fun, it's just amazing. You don't want to miss that. That's the 78th. That's September 8th and 9th, the 79th Street Festival again this year, the 6th annual Remarkable Woman Conference. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget. Get your tickets today. If you want to vend, get your vending table today. We only have a few slots left. And if you want to get your tickets and you can't make it, then you want to donate a ticket for a domestic violence woman, get your tickets, and you can get $25 off by putting Love God Want on at the end. All right, family, thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey this morning. Again, we want to wish Hasina happy birthday, honey. We love you. We love your presence. And when I think of you, I think of elegance. I think of beauty. I think of all that God is in the creative, beautiful world. You are so beautiful. And let me tell you, when she put herself together, when you see her, I'm telling you, just exquisite. Pearls, diamonds, clothes, just the way they just lay, and when she moved, just beautiful sister. Thank you for bringing that into our presence this morning. Happy birthday again, Hasina. And I just want to say, family, remind you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God, family. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. Yes, love is a choice. And I want to remind you again today, that don't just dream your God-sized dreams, but live them, family. This is the brand new Heavies. Never give up. Never give up.